Yes, hello, Gristlers. It's another great Gristling week here on 2SER 107.3. We've got a very erudite panel here for you tonight. I'm, of course, Starvin Marvin. And we're going to be having a look at a few things. Will the borders be open for Christmas? ScoMo certainly hopes so. What's happened to our economy? It's flatter than a pancake. Off with your heads. If you're going on a ferry trip up to Parramatta, you've got a duck. Craig Kelly, he uses the N-word. What's happening with our ex-PM, Tony Abbott? My goodness. Some people don't like him in the UK. Well, some people don't like him here either. There's all this and more coming up on a Gristle. Yes, Gristlers, another week has slipped by under the bridge of the Parramatta River. And, of course, we could have ducked, otherwise it could have been a bit of a problem, got a bit of a headache. But we've got a wonderful panel here to discuss all these things and more. Trudette, very good to have you back for a celebrity appearance.
Indeed. I haven't been here for a while.
No, we've been missing you, Trudette. Oh, it's so good to have you back. Gosford Quarries, you've been away for a few weeks as well.
I have.
Oh, glad to be back. I'm beginning to wonder whether it was another few weeks. And Demo Crazy, have you got the bath water at the right temperature just yet?
Well, I think everyone's taking a bath in terms of the economy at the moment, except in the stock market, but we'll talk about that.
Well, we'll talk about that. But first of all, you know, what's happening with our national cabinet? ScoMo wants the borders open for Christmas. Now, I kind of feel that ScoMo may have wanted the borders open a little bit earlier than that, but they're not playing ball, these premiers. They're playing a sort of a hard ball, really. It's sort of going back to colonial times, except, of course, WA. It's reminds us of the Constitution and the beginnings of our great nation when WA wasn't really ready to join. They joined a little bit later, and it seems like they're not joining us on opening the borders either. Trudette, you're an old WAite. What do you think? What's the zeitgeist going on in Perth?
You know, I think it is an interesting one. I mean, WA has always been quite keen on a succession, but from their perspective, you know, I mean, my family is over there, and they're living life more or less as they were. You know, they have almost no restrictions and they're kind of getting about. So I can kind of understand why they don't want, you know, the possibility of people coming over and infecting them. You know, they have no community transmission and they kind of want to keep it that way.
Do they now? Well, look, I've actually just had a text message in from Putin's bride and he is saying that he thinks, he said, we firmly demand that WA recognise the One Australia policy. We will resolutely defend our sovereignty and territorial integrity. Certain politicians must fix the mistaken views. Those black hands should know that Australia will never give up, and they should follow the right path of recognising that Perth is part of Australia since ancient times. So not everyone...
Wow.
Yep, Putin's bride is making a contribution from out there in the message sphere.
I think that's like a new preamble to the Constitution or something.
Well, maybe he's working up to something like that. Who knows?
WA staying out doesn't stop the rest of the country from opening up, which it sort of sounds as though is kind of on the cards after the cabinet meeting today. I mean, you know, WA has a very easy border to close, but not so much some of the other borders, say, for example, between New South Wales and Victoria and South Australia. And so they have kind of made some headway on that, I think.
Yes, you're right. They have made some headway there. I think some of the ideas of having the bubbles on the borders is a good idea. I mean, I think the problem with Queensland, with I forgot the name of the town on the border there, but they can't go to the supermarket in Moree.
Tweed Heads?
Pardon?
Tweed Heads in the border?
No, not that one. No, further west. Anyway, look, there was this problem. They had a fire and their supermarket burnt down and they couldn't get to Moree because they're on the wrong side of the street. So anyway, look, Anastasia Palaszczuk has made a few concessions there, but not very many. I mean, demo crazy. You know, couldn't she loosen things up a bit, or is she getting really revved up for her election?
Well, that's right. I think the thing that we all need to think about with the border closures is that they have been incredibly popular. And as Trudette was saying before, if people can continue on like life was in the pre-times, pre-COVID, as is happening in Western Australia because they have no community transmission, the majority of people are wanting to keep life like that. And so they're willing to deal with the sacrifices, particularly if they don't have family, et cetera, interstate. They're like, well, yeah, my life's better like this. And in terms of the elections coming up, Queensland's got the state election at the end of the year. So the less that they can have a health issue, that's Anastasia Palaszczuk's calculation on that's the best chance to be able to win the election. And not only is Anastasia popular on that border closure, but also Queensland just got the AFL grand final because of the health issues in Victoria and the fact that they're still in the stage 4 lockdown. So for those listening in Victoria, hoping that you've only got a couple of weeks to go on that. For multiple reasons, Queensland's saying, well, we can win a bit out of these border situations. That's not fitting with that One Australia idea that Putin's bride and the Prime Minister are championing.
The one nation that they're talking about, is it? Is that what they're talking about?
Careful talking about one nation now, right?
So. Gosford Quarries, just wondering whether you think that ScoMo's lost a bit of street cred here after his last cabinet meeting. Doesn't seem to be getting his own way very much, does he?
Yeah, well, I think in today's press conference following the cabinet meeting, he publicly outlined that they're no longer going to pursue the kind of consensus approach that was being spruced a lot throughout the intense months following March. So I think, he's probably lost the kind of approach that he was looking for. He definitely wanted, to have his states and territories of Australia to go on board with the Commonwealth plan. And he didn't have that happen today with WA standing out, which is a bit of a surprise because I thought it was a bit interesting because one of the things that they were looking at was just a deadline to try and get this done by Christmas. And I think at the end of the day, if you just set a deadline and you don't end up meeting it, it's what we had for July anyway. We were meant to have this all kind of relatively sorted by then. So, yeah, who knows? But I think it's, interesting times at the moment.
It is
I
interesting
times. The press conference was quite interesting today because ScoMo seems to be getting a bit poetic with his speeches, I have to say, that he waxed lyrical for quite a long time about, early days of Australia in that conference and how much we all love the place. It was quite interesting that he's getting so,
Yeah, I was getting all misty-eyed, that's for sure,
Coalition leaders love to hark back to the past.
I was humming along to Waltzing Matilda.
Less future focus and more past focus.
Looking for the Vegemite in the fridge and thinking, oh, yes, look, those were the days. I also think he could be getting a little bit wanting to look back on the better times when it comes to the economy. Josh Frydenberg came out with some of the worst news that any Australian Treasurer has ever done. The deepest recession we've had since the 30s. Do you think people are going to remember him with the back in black times there, Demo?
I think Josh Frydenberg is going to rue the day that he said the budget was back in black. I think that's an albatross he'll be wearing around his neck for the rest of his career. But in terms of his career, we're talking about all the job losses due to the pandemic, and Josh Frydenberg has effectively taken a job this week because he's become the de facto Victorian opposition leader as well. And they've got elected parliamentarians in the state. State Parliament from the Coalition, but Josh Frydenberg.
Yeah, because they've branch stacked them into the Parliament there, haven't they?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because the state parliamentarians are copping so much flack, as well as Michael Suka in the federal Parliament about branch stacking in Victoria, that Josh Frydenberg has had to more and more use his voice as a Victorian, which does dampen his effect as treasurer, and particularly when there's a, like you're saying, the worst record that you can have as looking at in terms of the economy has been over the last stretch, in terms of the last 75 years, yeah.
Well, maybe it's time to move on from that one. It's getting a bit depressing. Now, look, if you really wanted to enjoy our beautiful city, you might decide to get on a ferry, hop on a ferry and go up the Parramatta River. And, of course, if you're going to be going on one of the new fantastic Indonesian ferries that we've bought from that great seafaring nation, you might just want to stand up and take a photo and you'd lose your head. Trudette, would you be worried about going up the Parramatta River on one of these newfangled devices?
Surely the ferry is the least scary part of the whole deal. But, and I've actually never done that, so it might be quite pleasant. I'm not sure. I did hear Andrew Constance saying, everyone calm down, sit down and, you know, stop.
Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Yeah, pretty much.
You better sit down, otherwise you'd lose your head, as we said.
That's right.
Apparently this is already a problem on the ferries we currently have, so it's not a new issue, apparently.
Really? You could lose your head already? Gosford Quarry's your
but
place.
I think it's just for the... I think it's just for the private charter, some of the private charter ferries that have it, but none of the public transport ferries have this kind of, how should I put it, lose your head flaw. But yeah. with this new series, it seems like it will be present in the public transport series.
Gosford Quarries, have you been doing a lot of seafaring around the Indonesian islands in your lifetime? Have they got pretty good ferries there, or, you know, are they a bit dodgy?
I would say they do the job pretty well. There's very rarely tight underpasses under bridges, which could possibly knock your head off, which is very different from the Parramatta River. Often it would be vast, open bodies of water and open air and beautiful beaches, but I get sidetracked. But with this matter, it's definitely quite concerning. At high tide, I think some of these boats will just be centimetres off the bridge. It's a pretty tight fit. And it just means that the margin for error is actually pretty small. And so I like to think that it's actually a really smart idea from the government just to force more people to avoid commuting into work post-COVID, and so that more people...
Well,
there's less demands on our public transport.
I think Andrew Constance is really looking forward, after his previous naming of ferries, he's now going to have the chance to call one of these Ferry McBridge Face. Based on what's going to happen to people. It's also good for the economy, because one of the traditions in harbour cruises for many, and we do promote responsible drinking on the Gristle, but during a...
And we practice it as well.
People do down the beer that they're on. And look, if you've spilt your beer because your head's just been bumped by a bridge, you're going to have to get another beer. So you're going to be drinking more. This is the kind of economy.
It's all good for the economy.
Economy raising that's happening out of this.
Yeah. So Josh Frydenberg doesn't need to worry after all. That's good news. Look, we might just go for a short break now. Unfortunately, we will not be able to discuss anything during the short break because I don't have any spare faders here, unfortunately, here at 2SER 107.3. We're going to be back with a lot more here on The Gristle. Maybe. It's not going to work for me. Maybe that'll work. Yeah, a bit of good times there. Nice to remember those good times. But we're going to have some more good times here on the Gristle at 2SCR 107.3. I am Starvin Marvin, of course, and I'm here with Trudette Gosford Quarries and Dem O'Crazy. We're on the Gristle, and this is what you're listening to. Aren't you lucky? You lucky people out there. Now, Craig Kelly is well known for his use of language, quite an erudite member of parliament. He's calling the Victorian government a bunch of Nazis. I was shocked to hear this, but apparently it was about a pregnant woman in her pyjamas who was arrested over a Facebook post. She's an anti-lockdowner and maybe also an anti-Alex Downer. Trudette, were you surprised to see this woman coming through with her pyjamas on?
I'm unsure why it's relevant that she's pregnant. People keep saying this like, oh, the fact she's pregnant is... makes it so much worse to be arresting her in her pajamas. But that seems to be completely beside the point. She's, you know, I mean, whether she should be arrested, perhaps it was a little heavy-handed, but, you know, I guess there's precedence to set. She was trying to organise an unauthorised, I guess, public meeting of people in a area that is under fairly strict restrictions at the moment. You know, so possibly there was some room for requiring police presence. But yeah, I just found that quite strange that that was the thing that she, you know, she wasn't wearing makeup, she was wearing her pajamas and she was pregnant seemed to be the most important factors to talk about rather than the fact she's like an anti-vaxxer or something. Oh,
and how was her hair?
It was whatever, who cares, you know?
That'd be the next thing. Look, Demo Crazy, you know, do you use the N-word much?
Let's. I'm going to take a big step backwards from that. But what I want to say on this issue is that conservative commentators, and I'll class Craig Kelly as one of them, because although he's in Parliament, I think his voice is definitely diminishing, and he's headed for a career on Fox News. But conservative commentators can't have it both ways. And at the time of the Black Lives Matters protests, they had their knickers in a knot saying, hey, we've got a health crisis. These people want to protest. They want to gather in public. And that's just not on. And now that there are, let's say, a right-wing reaction kind of thing to the lockdowns where people are claiming rights, which I'm all for human rights, but we don't have any Bill of Rights, et cetera, in Australia. So it's... people are a bit confused about which rights they're referring to, I think. But the point is that you can't have it both ways. You can't say that Black Lives Matter's protests are bad, but these kind of protests and organisers of them can't be arrested. The police, the head on the police who was talking last night from Victoria said, yeah, it's not a good look when it's a pregnant lady. But she claimed that she didn't realise it was wrong to be organising a protest at the moment, and the police come back to that was, look, you have to be from Mars not to realise that we're not allowed to gather in large groups at the moment.
Oh, so, and clearly she's from Venus.
Overblown. Yeah, well, that's right. That's right.
But Demo Crazy, you spend most of your days in your pajamas. Do you have special set that you have on ready for the police to arrive?
Well. I don't.
I was asking Gosford Quarries. Where are you, Gosford? Are you there?
Okay. I'm here. No, I do not. Yeah, I was just thinking after, you know, looking up the article, there's photos from the arrest actually in her home, which is quite interesting. I think I would be quite surprised to have the police rock up and go, oh, you posted something on Facebook and...
It's a bit outrageous, isn't it?
You know, we're lucky to be in the great place of New South Wales, where it's not as bad as it is in Victoria.
Well, look, since we've mentioned the F word, Facebook, we might also just quickly zip across to one of our topics a bit further down, talking about what Facebook and Twitter are doing for Mr. Trump's posts. They've decided now that they're going to take more of an interventionist approach because I think our friend the Donald has been talking about voting more than once. Is that something you've heard, Trudette?
I haven't heard him say that, and I must admit I've haven't been, I'm not a Twitter user, and so
it was taken down on your feed, obviously.
Yeah, apparently, and I tend to get a lot of my news from the late night talk shows, which are all on holiday at the moment. So I did not hear about this gap.
Didn't hear about this,
but it is about time. Yeah. I did hear that they had
molecular
started
strategy.
Well, you know, who knows? I mean, it's hard to know whether Trump sort of thinks far enough ahead to strategize. But it is interesting that they are, you know, actually taking a stand. He won't like that very much. And in previous attempts by people like Twitter to shut down some of his more, let's say, controversial conspiracy claims, he does tend to get rather upset when they do.
Yes, he does. And you know that because everything ends up in capital letters. Demo Crazy, I'm sure you've been getting a few tweets and things from Mr. Trump.
I try to steer clear of the murky waters that are the vitriol that comes out of Donald's Twitter feed. But, yeah, I don't think he's encouraging everyone to vote twice in the USA, just Republican-leaning people in swing states.
Ah, right.
He's quite targeted in his contraventions of democracy. But perhaps the bigger issue of the week in terms of what he's done is that Kenosha, where there was the shooting of an unarmed black man, and there had been many riots following it. And the local leaders said, look, please stay away. You are only going to increase division. And that's exactly why he went there. He went to meet with law enforcement, said you are doing the right thing. And he met with business owners trying to protect their businesses. And he said that he wasn't going to meet with the family of the person who was shot 7 times in the back and maybe paralyzed for life because lawyers would be present. And it's probably not a good idea for him to be anywhere near lawyers. I mean, this is a guy who has employed lawyers for decades to make sure that news doesn't get out about him. It's just all hypocrisy from him. But he's actively trying to undermine democracy and he's actively trying to sow division. That's the only thing he knows. He doesn't want to be president of the USA, but he doesn't want to lose more. And he's willing to take the country down and the world down if he has to, so he's not a loser.
And he's a winner with us anyway, isn't he? You know, old Donald Trump, as long as he's in the media, we've got something to talk about. And Gosford Quarries, you've certainly been looking at tweaking the voting in the past, if at all possible. How do you get 2 votes in the American system? Are you aware of how it works?
I'm not aware how it works, but from what we just heard, there is really a lot of news to do with Donald Trump, and I'm not surprised if people didn't even hear of this outlandish claim that he's made about people voting twice, because it's just a constant fire hydrant with this president of the United States. Even for myself, who's trying to keep up to date with the latest of what's happening in the election, there's stuff that I miss, and I think recently it's just gotten more intense. There is so much going on, and there's a lot of very nuanced things going on at the moment as well, with New York Times reporting about public servants being influenced to make certain decisions coming from the White House and whatnot. So there's really so much going on, and I hope the American people can think very hard about their decision and vote once in the upcoming presidential election.
Yes, and
To drain the swamp as president, he has filled the swamp with bile.
Absolutely.
I think if you want to vote twice, based on Trump's earlier comments, you just have to enroll your dog to vote. You never heard that?
No, I hadn't heard that.
They will post out a voting form to your dog.
Sounds like an old ALP trick, if you ask me. I mean, I think that's happened before here in some of the council elections around Sydney. What are we going to do it is a good idea, let's face it, to export some of our old prime ministers. And what's been also happening this week across the Atlantic in the UK is that one of our old cast-offs has been running around London, giving the odd speech here and there, but attracting a lot of attention. Some people are saying that he's a misogynist or a climate change denier. I mean, Trudette, he must have heard this all before.
I mean, surely. I wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, from us here at the Gristle.
The last decade of garbage that he's spouted. I mean, he hasn't gone down well, I must say that. I mean, I can understand why Boris might like him because he's sort of a little bit more foolish than he is. But, you know, the conservative, even, you know, conservative female members there are very unhappy with this kind of proposal to bring him on. As in, on the trade, what is it? Is it the Board of Trade as a special
envoy? Was it? Or, yeah, something like that. I don't know. He's according to the trade minister in the UK, whose name escapes me, he said he's pretty good at trade stuff. Demo crazy. That's a good reason to get him on board, isn't it?
Look, there's been a lot of debate in Australia over recent years about ending our fossil fuel exports. If we've exported this fossil, fantastic.
and Gosford Quarries, I mean, I think old Tony, he's been one of these people that in the past seems to be able to get up people's noses pretty quickly. How long do you think he's got in the UK?
Look, I don't think it'll go very far because I don't think this passes the pub test in so many different ways. First of all, the fact that he was able to get a travel exemption, which is very difficult to do, to go to the other side of the planet to accept a job interview. And he also had an appearance at a committee hearing in the House in London. So he got an exemption to go to the other side of the planet. And I think also it doesn't pass the pub test with a former prime minister signing up to an organisation that represents the interests of British businesses when he is a former Australian Prime Minister. So I think it's going to put him in a very difficult situation. I just don't like the smell of it. And I think we're seeing from the reporting over the past few days that I think the British people are not liking the smell of it too.
Yes. Oh, well, look, he probably should change his cologne, I suppose, at some stage.
Or stop eating all those onions.
Maybe.
Or, over in Europe, maybe he can actually go and try and shirt front Putin now because, goodness gracious, with the Germans saying that the Russian opposition leader was poisoned with a nerve agent, someone needs to get Putin in check.
Yeah, I'd be being a bit careful if I was Tony in that respect because it doesn't appear that if anyone disagrees with Vlad the Impaler that you might also get a little bit of something snuck into your tea as he hands it across from the samovar. So I don't know. Is Novacek a bad thing, do you think, Demo?
Yeah, look, if it's a Twinings brand, I'm not going to buy it.
I suspect it depends on whether you're the one giving it or taking it. But, I mean, at least we know who did it, you know.
That's right. Now,
many people have access to nerve agents to be able to slip them into tea, right?
Now, if we just zip across to the Pacific coast of the US quickly before we go, I just thought I'd get, Trudette, your opinion on this furor over Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done in San Francisco. Mm.
I mean, what is that another example
of? Yeah, is that another example of people not, you know, just trying to target women?
I mean, look, I think it's just them, you know, lashing out at anyone. You know, I mean, there's no way Trump doesn't have some kind of beauty regime with that horrendous skin color and that ludicrous hair he has. So, you know, I mean, should she have been wearing a mask and, you know, following the rules? Yeah, she should have. But, you know. Like, compared to some of the other nonsense that goes on, it just seems like such a small blip in the radar, you know?
I think you're right. And we're going to have to leave it there, Gristlers. We've run out of time again this week. So thank you, Demo Crazy. Thank you, Gosford Quarries. Thank you, Trudette. I'm Starvin Marvin. This has been The Gristle.